We're continuing our series on halachic responses to migration. The mass migration of Eastern European Jews to the United States at the turn of the 20th century placed significant strains on established patterns of halachic observance, particularly in the realm of shechita and mikveh observance. Regarding shechita, there were economic pressures, weak communal authority, and the rapid industrialization of food production, which contributed to the widespread laxity and inconsistency in kosher supervision. And these tensions were very visible in the emerging kosher meat industry, and there were questions of oversight, accountability, and rabbinic authority, which developed, unfortunately, into turf wars. And a striking example occurred during the brief tenure of Yaakov David Ben Zev Wolofsky, the Ritvaz, the Rabbi of Chicago. Prior to his arrival, supervision of the city's slaughterhouses had been administered by Rav Tzvi Album under assistant, in which shochetim operated with minimal external oversight and were often directly hired by the slaughterhouse owners themselves. When the Ritvaz arrived in Chicago in 1903, he forcefully opposed this arrangement, arguing that it undermined halachic integrity and rendered meaningful supervision impossible. He rejected the practice of the shochetim barring independent rabbinic inspection of the slaughterhouses and sharply criticized the financial dependence of the ritual slaughters, the shochetim, on commercial owners. During declaring the meat produced under these conditions forbidden for consumption, the Ritvaz triggered an intense communal uproar. The ensuing conflict proved untenable, and within a short time he was compelled to leave Chicago, according to some accounts, fleeing the city under threat to his life, even departing by train on Shabbos itself. This episode illustrates how the American context destabilized traditional structures of rabbinic authority and transformed halachic disputes into public, economically charged confrontations. Simultaneously, the advent of indoor plumbing introduced new halachic challenges in the area of Taras HaMishpacha. Some Jews, less familiar with the technicalities of halacha, questioned why women were required to use a special mikveh when they had bathtubs at home. In many communities, women were compelled to use public bathhouses, raising significant concerns about modesty and privacy. Rabbis often felt uncomfortable addressing these intimate matters from the pulpit, leaving a gap in public guidance. One figure who addressed this challenge directly was Rav David Miller of Oakland. Born in Lithuania around 1869, he studied in Slobodka and received smicha from Yitzchak Inspector. He arrived in the United States around 1890, serving as rabbi in New York and Providence before leaving the rabbinate in 1905. Settling in Oakland, he became involved in real estate and opened a Talmud Torah. He dedicated himself to reviving observance of family purity, identifying that women often felt uncomfortable immersing in public mikvahs due to hygiene and modesty concerns. His solution, a mikvah in every home. As a successful contractor, Rav David Miller published designs for affordable and practical home mikvahs that could seamlessly fit into ordinary living spaces. He first presented his designs in a short Yiddish book, Mikveh Yisrael, in 1920. In 1930, he published a more ambitious English work, The Mikveh Construction, I'm sorry, The Secret of the Jew, containing ethical teachings, essays on family purity, a review of the laws of mikveh construction, and detailed architectural designs. Self-published and distributed freely in at least 11 editions before his death in 1939, the work received endorsements from Rav Shlomo Elchanan Yaffe and Rav Shimon Tzvi Album, that rabbi from Chicago. And it was cited extensively by Rav Nissen Telushkin in his Taras HaMayim. Rabbi Miller's home mikvahs were intended to be filled with ordinary municipal tap water. Halachically, mikveh water must not be stored in a kli, in a utensil capable of holding water, as this water is called she'uvim. And so this was a controversial position. Certainly after the Holocaust, most post-Jews in America prevailed upon the rabbinic leaders in all the different American communities, Orthodox communities, not to use municipal tap water, but this wasn't necessarily the case beforehand. Rabbi Chil Michel Epstein, the author of Aruch HaShulchan, apparently ruled that water supply through city piping could be used for mikveh under certain conditions. In any case, Rav David Miller wanted to get haskamos from certain poskim that would agree to his position. And we're going to read a tshuva by one particular Rav who responded to his request for approbation for Haskama. This is in the Shu't Das Kohen, Siman Kuf. And he writes to Rabbi David Miller. And he says, as Sifro Yesod, Netzach Yisrael Kibalti, I received his work in Netzach Yisrael, Yachav imichtavo hangli Eli, together with his letter, Bnei Ruvi tirdosi lo yichalti lashiv lo altar. I couldn't, because I was busy, I couldn't respond immediately. And v'gam avru yamim u'shvul, sechal adar biyadi lavor al sefer. Many days and weeks passed before I can review this book. And he says, v'nei yakro li ma'odim rasav. His sayings are very beautiful. And the Yakar v'chaviv lo kvot torasol yorasol v'chachmasol v'taras libabo l'schus is a rabbim. His authority is so precious to me. His fear of God and the purity of his heart is a credit to the public. But you see, chavitz mon shadivrei musaro nechmanim yitzparsmul al pnei dev. I want that his beloved words of moral teaching to be published all over the world. So this rabbi, who's writing this tshuva das kohen, is saying he's praising this Rav David Miller. He said, regarding the matter, if it's possible to write regarding all places, whether it's possible to take water from the mikveh, from the home faucet, he says, not so clear whether you can take water for the mikveh from the home faucet without being considered maim shuvim, drawn water. Certainly in the holy city where this the author of this tshuva is living, he says, Hamayim alolo heim kulam shuvim. He says, the water here in my holy city where I live, it's all drawn water. Why? Because the flowing water does not suffice for all the city's needs. Therefore, in our city, there are water tanks on the roofs, which says, hold the water in reserve. And it goes from the water tanks, from these tanks through the pipes. And so that, so he said that in many of these cities, I don't know, in America, maybe they also have these water tanks, which would raise the problem of Mayim Shuvim. And then he says, and also I have another question regarding these municipal mikvaos, Shahora Kvot Toratosh, Shemayesh Bazet Gamkein, Tzad Kilkuchas. This might lead to a ruin, God forbid. Nation imkol apirtzos shebezebedarenu. I'm saying to Rabbi that because of the breach of sins in our generation, mikolkom yeshnam tzadim shebusha shelachas mechaverta gorem shelahem lechas l'tfila. That maybe out of embarrassment, a woman's going to go to the mikvah. V'imi spashed haminang shel mikvos habetios oz tispadel legami habusha azos. That if the practice of home mikvah spreads, this embarrassment will be lost. What's he saying? Rav David Miller is saying that you should make that women are too embarrassed to go to these public mikvahs. So what's the solution to encourage mikvah observance? Make the mikvahs and the homes. However, in this, the author of the Das Kohen says maybe it's the opposite. Maybe the fact that women go every month, and if a woman sees that her friend didn't go to the mikvah that month, she says, "Where were you?" So a woman will be embarrassed not to show up, so she will go to the mikvah. So that's an interesting question. What's better policy? Not from a pure halachic standpoint, but what will lead to greater encouragement of women going to the mikvahs? If it's at home, they'll say, it's more modest, so they're going to go at home more. Or maybe if it's at home, maybe right now they're going because of embarrassment if they don't go. And if they say it's at home, they can tell their friends, I went to the mikvah, but they really didn't go to the mikvah. So that is a policy question. What's better? And he says another issue, which is maybe... He says, "Mi yodea im yadru l'taken mikvos kedas Torah." Who knows if you say you can do the mikvos at home? Who said everyone's going to follow the halachos of doing what is proper? Because it requires a lot of precise rulings on how to make the mikvos at home kosher. Who says that it will be done correctly? And more than that, he says, "Chutim mashe etzal amei aretz yuchla dvarim lahavi deik zilzul," and it can lead to. Denigrating the halacha, lomar man afka mina bein mikvah katana zulam batia beitita tlusha. That maybe someone will say, what's in between the mikvah at home, which might be kosher, and a regular bathtub? The halacha is that you can't take a. You have to build the mikvah. You have to build a mikvah is a gathering of water and it has to be built in a structure. You can't take a kli, a bathtub, for example, a structure like a kli, a bathtub, and then attach it to the house. It has to be built from the house. So it has to be built from the structure itself. You can't You can't take a piece of furniture and attach it to the home. So he's concerned that if we allow these home mikvahs, the number one is some people will not go because they'll tell people they went, but they really won't go. And other people will not build it correctly. And other people will say, if we can use this, why can we use a bathtub? And he says, I'm not here to quibble regarding the words of his esteemed authority, and his holy moral teachings. It would be good for the author to append a letter to his book like this, and to say that since the matter is not certain in all places, if the water and the pipes should come into this house, that they're halachically valid, that every single mikvah should be done with a Torah scholar. That you can't just stop, people can't just stop paskin for themselves, but every single mikvah that's built has to be done through a Torah scholar. And he said that also, he says that every that really the rabbis in every community should judge whether this will bring greater observance or actually stumbling block, less observance. That everyone has to judge. And again, he says, Vizosladaj, he said more than this, Kigam Otaros, also the reservoir, Shemaim Nimshachim Behem Akrachim, in which the water is pulled from them in all the cities, Yeshvim Shem Nasim Lobaderach Binyana, Abaderach Kli Batalush, that some of the reservoirs are built as a Kli. So he says, it's not so simple. It's a nice idea, Rav David Miller suggests, but we need to investigate whether it could be kosher, because there are a lot of potential problems. But he seems to be very nice, and this author of this tshuva seems to be very excited and supportive of Rav David Miller's attempt, even though he says it requires further investigation. He concludes, "V'nei rotzef bazeh esegiras atayra atara." I'm also fixing the letter of purity. Sheshalati zeh ezeh shanim l'mkos moshevot. That I sent to Achenu Bnei Yisrael Baretz HaKodesh. I sent to our Jewish brethren in the Holy Land. I have my own letter about Taras Mishpacha that I want to send that I've sent there already around, and he should send it around also. If he desires, he may use it according to his will. And he finishes the letter. I'm finishing with a bracha. Yivarach Hashem chelo. May Hashem bless the author's strength. V'yirtzeh po yadav v'yirumeim af yinaseh. That he may be raised and lifted. V'chav Hashem biyadol yatzlich lezakos zarami. Hashem should help him. Be credit the masses with this beautiful mitzvah. He signs it. Ha-katan, the little. Avram Yisrach HaKohen Kuk. So this is a letter, apparently. Rav David Miller sent to Rav Kook all the way in Eretz Yisrael to send a haskama to his suggestion for the mikvah. Again, it doesn't seem that this was ever accepted, the whole mikvah that was ever instituted. But what's fascinating is this episode of David Miller really trying to encourage halachic observance, mikvah observance. And there are different shilas about how big the mikvah has to be, and he had different shiurim how big, and I think edition of the book, the size was getting a little smaller. He was trying to have more lenient view, just to encourage mass observance of this halacha. But what we see is this is an example of Rav David Miller on one hand, Rav Kook on the other hand, and Rav David Miller trying to, due to migration, there is a crisis. People in a whole new community, many of them are not so observant, and there's no one pushing them to observe halacha in such an intense way that many women are stopped observing Taras Mishpacha. So what do? Do you try different solutions and even rely perhaps on some halachic leniencies regarding tap water? And even if that's okay, you have to ask yourselves, will this encourage mitzvah observance, or whether this will discourage mitzvah observance? Maybe it will encourage more women to observe the mikvah if it makes it easier in their homes. Maybe it might discourage because they might not do it properly. They might go less because there's no embarrassment factor if they don't go. And they might build the mikvah improperly. They may just say, let's just use a bathtub instead. And there are a lot of potential problems. So this is an example where migration caused a major crisis in halachic observance, and how one rabbi tried to push for observance based on certain halachic principles, and how there was pushback. And even, again, Rav Kook praises him, but there's pushback ultimately, and how this possibility, possible solution, was never ultimately